No, we have to do a podcast, goddammit.
Okay, so I guess
every
buckle up for
week.
The sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna. Your mopey ass attitude, Salsa. I don't want to be fucking bitching and griping today. I am not in the mood for it today, asshole. You perk your shit up right now, because I'm not here for your bitching.
On that note, what are you drinking, Jenna?
I am still clearing through stuff. I apologize, James. I thought I had another bottle of gin. I had another bottle of vodka.
Terrible problem.
It is a I mean, it's sad for you, because that means I didn't give you more gin. It's great for me, however, because I love L'Etoile vodka. And I'm going to drink this shit. So, yeah, I've got a vodka cran. Dennis, I'm fine on alcohol. Thank you. Mm. You do not need to help me.
You don't need any more toilet bowl cleaner?
Yeah, Dennis has been threatening to help me with my booze problem.
Send you some there with bring you toilet bowl cleaner.
Just so sweet.
Yes, that is what I would use it for. Sweet. Yes.
James, what are you drinking?
I found out that Sprite makes a lemonade. It's like a Sprite with lemon. So I have mixed that with melon, and I've made an anagram.
I think you just made a liquid turducken. Melaminade.
Yeah,
Lemelin.
It's a lamellin. It's French.
Lemelon.
No, it would be a melaminade.
I'm going with Jenna on this.
No,
Lemelon.
Melaminade. Is the turducken of whatever you just...
That sounds like a malady. That sounds like...
Wait, no,
so
no.
So is what you're drinking,
I got it,
James.
I got it. Okay. I got it. It's Le Melime.
Le Melime? Yeah.
Le Melime.
No, I'm down.
Le Melime.
Le Melime.
All right.
Le Melime.
With lemon.
Le Melime. Le Melime. Yes. Timmy.
Le Melime. Yep. Lemon, melon, lime.
Yeah. All right.
Got it. Nailed it.
I'm good with this. It tastes delicious.
Okay.
Good. I can't have some of that, so you enjoy.
Sure thing.
I have been taking stock and kind of tidying up all of the various boozes in my basement. Because it's kind of gotten... a bit overgrown down here. I just have a couple bottles of this over here and a couple bottles of that over there and a keg of that over there and just kind of like things all over the place. And so I was like, okay, I really need to like tidy up a bit down here. So I cleaned everything up and I ended up bottling the remainder of my orange clove mead into 2 1-liter bottles. So that is what is left of the orange clove mead is 2 1-liter bottles, and that is what I am drinking now.
That sounds delicious.
Nice. I'm jealous. Salsa, I have to drop off some stuff that may or may not fit Asher for Fest next year. But, mold costuming. We had discussed this like right before quarantine. If I come by and drop some of that off, I would be more than willing to help you with your surplus booze.
I mean, there is, you know, a bottle of orange mead just sitting here looking sad.
That Jenna.
All right, we're going to make this happen.
Such a giver.
And, yeah. And Jenna, or my wife is not eating it or drinking it right now. There's something too much sulfur, so sulfide or something in it that gives her heartburn when she drinks it. So she has not been consuming it.
Yeah, I'll come drop by some stuff.
I haven't had any problem with
some of that. I might warm it up and drink it by a fire with Joe.
It is quite delicious. It's got the clove in there already, so you don't even need to mull it. You just warm it up and it's good to go. It is pretty great. Yeah. But I had to clean up because I had to make room for more.
I've heard.
Because I'm doing some more brewing. I mentioned last week, for those that were listening to the last week's episode, that we did some apple picking at my mother-in-law's house.
And your wife saved you from death.
We ended up with 2.5 buckets of apples off of the one tree. And we picked another 2 buckets of apples off of the other tree. Now, we only pressed the apples from the first tree last week because the apples from tree 2 were still a bit green, still a little underripe. So we're like, we're going to let those ripen in my cellar and let the tree kind of do its thing for another week. And then we'll take care of that one. So that's what we did. So we got 4 gallons out of the first tree. So Sunday, we go back to my mother-in-law's house. We pick the rest of the apples off of the second tree. And we proceed to pick another 6 buckets off of that tree.
Jeez.
Wow.
Yeah. We got a lot. And then we...
Are there any left? Are you going to have to go back for another round? Or?
No, they're pretty well picked clean at this point. There's Nature's Share still on there, but not anything, you know, worth mentioning still remaining on the trees. So we ended up, so we did that. It was, so after last week's session of, you know, pressing and stuff like that, we were using a food processor to chop up the apples, you know, before we pressed them. And we were like, it's working, but it's slow. It's a slow process. Sure. It's really a bottleneck. And so we looked into investing in a fruit grinding mill. We found one for a reasonable price. And again, same thing with the press. My wife and her sister, we went halvesies on that. So we co-own that as well. This thing cuts through fruit like nothing. You know those videos you see online of like
fruit.
Of the grind, like the shredders that eat the cars and stuff like that? This is like one of those. That's what it does to the apples. You turn the crank and it just rips into them. I bought it. And I looked it online, and I was watching videos online and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, this looks like it might do the thing. And we got it, and I opened the box, and I looked at the teeth on the grinder. And it was like, holy shit. These things are fucking bear claws.
Right.
Wow. They're beefy. And they just absolutely destroyed those apples. And so we were able to get them into the press faster. We were able to do the whole process faster. We ended up getting 9 pressings out of the apples from tree 2. We ended up getting 8 gallons of juice from that tree. So between the 2 trees, we now have 12 gallons of cider going in my basement.
Jesus Christ.
And... we picked 1 bucket of pears.
This is what you were excited about?
Very much so. The pear trees in my mother-in-law's yard are... all of the pears
full
are...
Full of partridges all, for some reason.
She's got huge maple trees that provide a lot of shade. And so the pear trees are under that tree. So the only place that they're producing fruit is like along one side. You know, most of the tree doesn't produce fruit. It's just along the one side where it can get sun. So one bucket is really all we could get of fruit off of that one. She was actually kind of surprised until a couple years ago. She thought that what wasn't producing any fruit at all. So the fact that it was producing something was pretty exciting. But we got one bucket out of that, and we now have a 1 gallon carboy of Perry going and bubbling like fucking mad. It's going to town. Yeah. It's really, really exciting. So between the 12 gallons of cider from her trees and the 1 gallon of Perry, that puts the volume of alcohols currently in a state of fermentation in my basement to roughly 33 gallons.
Attaboy.
Yeah, but what are you going to do when you run out of booze?
I know, right? It's a problem. Well, the Perry and the cider is half, you know, my sister-in-law's, obviously.
Sure.
The crab apple wine is my wife. She's actually making that. But yeah.
So you only get about, what, 16?
Yeah, well, and 17 gallons and, five gallons of last year's batch of cider I'm going to turn into Applejack. So, you know, that significantly cuts down.
Through completely legitimate American means.
It completely cuts down on how much booze I actually have, Ben.
It's a terrible problem.
All right.
Sure. Yeah. So I had an adventure.
Did you?
Yeah. It turns out that college is happening.
Oh, you're going somewhere? You're going back to school?
No. Well, yes, but no. I went to IKEA in order to pick up a desk.
Oh, okay.
For my room. And it turns out that not only are they out of desks, they're out of most tabletops and legs separately.
Mm-hmm.
And I started looking at, you know, just like buying some, because I love doing IKEA hacking, where you buy a couple of different kits and a spare tabletop or something like that, and take a couple power tools to it and make something completely not intended by designer.
Right.
And that's all well and good, but it also requires money and parts. So not only did they not have the desk I was looking for, nor did they have usual pieces that I would use for the desk that I was looking for, but they didn't even have like the IKEA hack pieces that I would use to connect a tabletop to the furniture that I could find, because you can make a really nice desk out of like Kallax and a little connector piece, and you know, like I had Legos. Well, I know
I
how
mean,
to do
you
this.
Remember when we when I asked you to pick up a board for me to go on top of my oh, what are they called? They're not IKEA, but they're basically IKEA. It's just like the little stacking cube things. Yeah. So, yeah, like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
and,
whatever happened to a bunch of
cinder blocks?
Cinder blocks and, you know, 1x12 boards.
Oh, sure. I grew up with that as my entertainment center, but I don't know. I was looking at a couple of different things, and I was going to pick up, like, a natural wood color tabletop and put it on top of some of those, you know, bright white stack cube things.
Yeah.
And Bryn was
more power to you, but
hinting. She was hinting that if I did not swap the white ones for the like super dark coffee brown ones, that she might divorce me before we even discuss marriage.
Yeah, that's because Bryn is a person of taste.
Right, there's that, and so I was looking at that, and I was like, you know, in order for my legs to fit under this desk with these things, it would have to be like I have 1 foot of room, and not like 12 inches of room. I mean, like I can put 1 foot under this desk, and that's about it. So I ended up going and looking through their tables because I was like, I can, you know, cut legs off a table or, you know, if it's the right size table, it'll be fine. Mm-hmm. All of their tables were gone.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And like they had coffee tables left, and that was about it. So
I
managed to find something that they said was out of stock, but there was one like tucked all the way at the back, and it was only $85. And I looked it up online, and it is just bitterly ugly. It is. It looks like it's made out of scaffolding and hatred for the human eye. And it looks like a good table that is glitching out in a video game. And I'll submit a picture of it.
I feel like you have to, because I can't imagine what would make a table look...
It's not a good-looking table, but it does have a lot of places to clamp lights and soldering stations and put a bench vise and things like that on there. And so it'll be a good computer table and crafting work table. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of excited about it, but it's bitterly ugly. But I think the beauty of it for me will be its utility and not its... pleasance for the eye.
I don't know if I've ever considered a table for its aesthetic rather than utility.
I usually go for both.
I like fashion and function.
Yeah.
Well, I think I think the thing you're not realizing, James, is it's not just college being a thing. It's the fact that everybody is learning from home.
Mm, like, I suppose.
We got, for my kids, 2 new desks.
Sure.
You know, because we needed them.
Yeah.
So we got 2 just in our house. A lot of people are doing the same.
That's fair, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes a ton of sense.
We didn't get from IKEA or anything. We found them both on Craigslist. Mm-hmm. But it was sure. It was cutthroat, even on Craigslist, trying to find a desk. Because, you know, mm-hmm. something would hit the market and like 2 hours ago, and Radley would message them and be like, nope, it's already been claimed.
Yep. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was having a desperate time trying to find even like the separate bits and pieces for any kind of reasonable price online. But something that I did find is that IKEA sells IKEA bags, right? Which you're used to.
Yeah.
Like the they're made out of that tarp fabric.
I don't go there, but I knew that. So
right. And see, I already knew this. I own a few of them because they're great for carrying fencing equipment. They're great for like tool and craft material bags and things like that. But what I did not know and found out is that they make tiny ones.
Oh my God. Oh my God, James.
A tiny zipper IKEA bag.
Dear listeners, this looks like an IKEA bag.
It's a coin pouch.
That is, yep, in the size and shape of a coin purse.
With, complete with little embroidered IKEA handles and everything. It's got
a zipper.
Call number and everything on it, and... So I was looking at it, and I was like, that's real fucking cute, and I need a reason to have this. And I realized that in disassembling some furniture to move it, that I had lost track of the wrench that came with the furniture.
So you're putting the Allen wrench in the little bag.
Yeah, because I keep the IKEA Allen wrenches, but I was missing the one that was the correct size. So now this is going to be the complete collection of little, you know, whatever extra pieces, whatever little shelf pegs, whatever little closures and wrenches and things like that, they're going to get tucked into this little bag, and this little bag is going to go into my toolbox, and they're always going to be in the right place.
That is... the dumbest reason to buy something so fucking adorable. Good job.
Yeah.
Nope. You have our approval.
Yeah. Yep. Story checks out. Right. Yeah. Stupid reasons to do things and adorable merchandise is what I'm about. That's. All day.
Yeah.
That's,
this is
promised.
This is the most on brand James that has ever Jamesed.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Yeah. But yeah, it was an adventure, and now I'm excited to have this, you know, brutalist thing created in my room. I'm really very excited for this. I'm probably just gonna put stickers all over it.
Okay. What about you, Jenna?
I donated a bunch of stuff to Goodwill.
Oh.
Bryn had some stuff that she was getting rid of, and I had some stuff that I was getting rid of. Steve had some stuff that he was getting rid of. So I just put it all in my car. My Honda Pilot. I know, right? And my Pilot is a swank car, so don't give me that look. So anyway.
That's I didn't say it wasn't.
You just looked very confused.
That's because I was confused.
Okay. Well, you didn't express anything further than that. And you barely expressed that, so. Anyway. I was bragging about my swank car. That was it. It was all that it was. I put it all into my Aubergine Honda Pilot. And we went to the Goodwill drive-thru. Because of COVID, they're not unloading. They're asking the individual to unload everything into specific bins. And their bins are basically fabric stuff and not fabric stuff. Sure. I think I figured it out. I hope so. But we went to do this, and the turnaround for getting into the drive-in thing was super tight. Which is where my Honda Pilot comes in, because my Honda Pilot is not a tiny vehicle.
Tiny car.
Yes, you have a tiny car. I have two of your tiny cars. At least.
That's true. That's accurate.
At least two of your tiny cars.
Yeah.
So I'm driving in this thing, and I'm like, am I going to hit my tires? Am I going to hit my tires? I don't want to hit my tires. That would be sad. I would be cranky if I hit my tires. I didn't. I was very happy about that. You thought it was going to be more exciting. It wasn't. But when I pulled into the little garagey space, the car wash overhang doodad thing, I had a moment where I wasn't sure I was going to be able to get my door open enough for me to get out.
Whoa, yeah.
Luckily, I am, although not as thin as I used to be, still very petite. So it was an adventure trying to squeeze through it. I'm like, is this really COVID safe? But here's the thing about Goodwill, and I'm sharing this with everybody, is that I had gone, before I went to go donate, I went to the Goodwill site online to be like, hey, are they taking donations? What are the hours? So that I knew beforehand. And Goodwill is doing online sales.
Interesting.
It's Shop Goodwill, blah, 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 something or other. Okay. And basically, it's kind of auction style. It's like eBay auction style. Kind of a thing where you've got so many hours and you can place bids or whatever. I think some of them just have a buy now option. Some of them are like actual bidding things. But you win your item, and then you schedule a time to just pick up, and they'll bring it out to your car and put it in your car.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of cool, because I haven't been doing thrifting in quite a while. And that means that I'm spending more money in other places to get my shopping fix. So I can start to limit myself to some thrifting stuff. Stop buying, you know, Chinese child labor clothing, and you know, get something fun like that. So
it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I was super excited about that.
Cool. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. Otherwise, I don't really think I did much of note. Started season 5 of Fargate, or Stargate. Yeah. Whatever. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm already up to season 5.
DC Fargate, we are not getting sued.
No, that's deeply exciting.
Yeah, and it's getting real good.
Hmm.
Dealt with Teal'c and some PTSD stuff. It was great. Oh, yes. Buddy, yeah.
Do you have any personal experience with
PTSD?
Oh.
Oddly, yeah. Like a little bit. However, I've never had a symbiote inside me.
Well, there's that. You haven't had a date like that.
Right. So I feel like I'm doing better overall.
Sure.
Like, sure. It's not a contest, but if it was a contest, I'm pretty sure Teal'c would win.
Fair. Yeah. All right.
Hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You can buy, off of Goodwill, shopgoodwill.com, you can get 9 clawfoot bathtub feet. Not the bathtub, just a clawfoot.
I don't know where one gets a 9-foot
claw tub. For $31.
I would like that. That seems big enough.
If you just want the feet of a clawfoot bathtub, and you want 9 of them, it's going for $31 right now.
Well, all right.
Yeah.
That is good to know. See, this is why I was excited. Like, we got some ridiculous stuff.
No, this is
legitimately, I'm gonna be
going to be my new hobby right here. Shit.
Excellent. I'm glad I could share that with you, Salsa.
Legitimately, I will be buying an old-fashioned fondue pot relatively soon. That is my housewarming gift to myself.
Do you want one?
There's an incredibly specific
one. Yeah, I figured.
Yeah. Well, because I had entrusted the care of mine to a friend whose roommates developed a fairly sudden relapse in their drug habit, and anything that contained copper became saleable goods. So the ancestral fondue pot went somewhere, and so I'm just gonna these things happen. It is an unfortunate thing, and I hope that they get the help that they need. So in the meantime, I'm looking to replace it with as close to an exact duplicate as possible. Maybe I know that they made the sort of disgusting pea green one that I grew up with, but it turns out they also made one in like a mango orange. And maybe that's what happens. Maybe that becomes the new ancestral fondue pot.
I mean, you are a fan of the orange.
I'm knitting an orange scarf as we speak.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's that. Yeah.
Oh, that was the thing that I did.
Yeah.
So I keep dreaming about buying a house, but I am expecting the housing market to burst at some point. There is a bubble. There is a huge bubble.
Yep.
But it's taking its sweet time. Like, and I think due to a lot of the housing assistance type things, the mortgage stuff, the deferments, the everything else that's happening due to the pandemic, it's slower than it was going to be, and I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want 18 million people to lose their houses. But there is going to be a burst at some point.
Yeah.
That's just going to happen. So yeah, it's taking longer than normal. So what I've been doing in the meantime is just dreaming up things that I'm going to do with my house once I get a house. And one of the things that I've always dreamed of is having a Star Trek entertainment room.
Oh.
Right? Just a nice little themed room where, you know, it'd be dark, it'd be like a basement family room type deal, but mm-hmm. Star Trek. And so I was looking up furniture. And there is, like, you can commercially buy from the designers that made the stuff for several episodes, or that were used in a lot of episodes. All of the series, like,
sure,
across
yeah,
the board.
Yeah, yeah.
But that is about $3,400 for a pair of chairs. I just can't bring that.
Yeah.
But if you are looking for some Star Trek furniture and happen to have way more money than anybody should have, Pierre Pauline is the designer that does the majority of the Star Trek stuff. So check that out. Almost all of it you can see at Art of Fort.
Hmm.
Which is like a seller of designer stuff.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. Well, what do you say? Should we take a break?
Could do.
James is talking, but I can't hear him.
Is he talking?
I thought he was talking. His lips were moving. Nope.
Well, then we'd better take a break.
Yeah, he's gone. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
I think they call it a pigeon blow-off.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
Pigeon Blow Off is my porn store name. Wait. And I'm Pigeon Blow Off.
You're welcome, America.
AKA Jenna. No, Pigeon Blow Off is definitely my porn star name.
I'm Hedwig Fiasco.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah. No, that's real good. Yeah.
Anyway, Pigeon Blow Off.
Sounds yeah.
We should let James talk.
Or Tad Out of Hand was the other one that I came up with.
What was it? There's a weapon in Borderlands.
Mm-hmm.
It's a something rod.
And, oh.
Yeah, and Jessa was like, this is my porn star name. And she was like 13 at the time. And I'm like, who the fuck raised you? Oh, no.
The internet.
Already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. God damn it. You ever feel like a bad parent? Or at least an awkward one? Because,
have you met my nephew? Anyway. I feel like a bad parent constantly. I'm not even responsible for him.
No, that's fair. Sometimes anyway, James, how's your moving going?
It's going all right.
Okay.
I was discussing things with, I believe, Salsa about the new place in a text chat. I was just like doing a check-in, seeing how he is, and I realized while I was processing my own feelings of difficulty with the move that part of it is that I don't really have a place of comfort yet.
Sure.
And like absolutely everywhere I want to move in the apartment, I have to navigate a falling Tetris box maze.
Well, I mean, you've been there, what, a week?
Less than, yeah.
Yeah, so
functionally less than.
Yeah.
But that's part of the reason that I'm so completely excited to have this workspace for crafting and computarying and all of these things. Totally aside from just missing playing computer games with people, which I do. I also need a kind of a retreat of safety. And for me, right, that's always been where I either where I sleep and computer, or my living room. And so I kind of create a nest in one of those two places. And I've never been super attached to the bed concept with the way that some people are. Some people like to, you know, it's 7 p.m. We're going to go get into bed and read some books and chat about finances, and I'm going to set up the laptop and we're going to watch a thing, and then we're going to, you know, at 9:30 we're going to turn the screens off, and then I'm going to have missionary style sex with my partner, and then we're going to discuss plans for a 4th of July barbecue and go to sleep.
I am not opposed to good missionary sex.
No. Neither am I.
You can actually get kind of tantric with that if you're doing it right. I'm just saying.
There are some ways and means, yeah.
I understand the stereotype that you're
right,
setting.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to be clear. I'm not opposed to missionary. You just got to...
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So the... but that's always... Hey, that...
So what we've learned here is the one Christian of the group is okay with missionary. All right.
I mean, not my preferred.
The I'm just
saying, you were the one defending it.
Yeah,
no, I defend good sex. I defend good sex. All right. It doesn't have to be 15. It doesn't have to be 15 different positions being flipped every 2 minutes to be good sex. In fact, sometimes that's confusing. Stop it. Just give me good sex. I don't care what position, and missionary can be really good.
Yeah.
My favorite is doggy. But missionary can be really good.
Fair enough. I'm pastafarian, so I prefer macaroni position. So the...
anyway, oh God.
Yeah, but not elbow macaroni unless you know each other really well.
Well, It depends on the night.
Right. Well, there's that, like, too.
There's some things that are not an every night thing, but like a once in a while, like, hey,
oh,
I'm
sure,
kind of thinking elbow tonight. What are you thinking,
yeah,
baby? Yeah. No.
Tortellini.
Oh, my God.
So there's that. And
so anyway, Nest.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to having a table and workspace with a computer that is on, because for me that's comfort. When in my college apartment, I had a bedroom, but I just made it a small living room and slept on the couch most nights because that was incredibly comfortable for me. So I don't know, that's kind of what I look for. What is a, if you were to go on a business trip, for example, and they were going to give you a hotel room to live and work from, to live in and work from. Is there something that for you would make it home?
A hot tub.
I mean,
well, sure.
I want a hot tub.
I don't have a hot tub at home, but that would sure make me feel at homey in a hotel.
Yeah. No, I mean, hot tub in the room is fantastic.
Sure.
I
feel
no,
like that's not quite
funny.
James was getting at, but
no,
that's still my answer.
Weird. I mean,
that is what I would demand from my employer. Yeah.
Yes.
No, I think for me, the like in a hotel room situation, or when I'm moving into a new place, which I do like every couple of years or so, because I get bored, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
the room where I tend to feel the most comfort at home, relax, whatever, is actually my entertaining room. I like the front room, the living room, the place where I can sit down with a book, have a glass of wine, and look at, it's got to be clean and pretty. Like, it's got to be visually pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
Just an area that is aesthetic. I'm a very visual person. I like having clean aesthetic stuff happening around me. It gives me kind of a sense of everything is together, everything is fine. Which is why when I get COVID and I can't do anything for a month and I start to come out of it and I'm looking around like, oh God, I just feel worse. But yeah, like having my sitting room, I guess,
mm-hmm.
set up properly. My receiving room, my library room, my whatever, that kind of cozy sitting, read, maybe it's watch something, gotta be able to listen to something, but like just that couch or, oh God, a wingback chair. Give me a proper wingback chair.
Fuck.
So happy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but that kind of a thing,
mm-hmm.
where it I can look at it and it looks together.
Mm-hmm.
And I could, if somebody showed up, be like, "Hello, welcome to my sitting area," like that kind of a thing. That makes me feel better and more confident in where I'm at. It's not so much a cozy thing. I don't really cozy. I don't nest like a lot of our friends do.
Sure.
I like having a space, right? If that makes sense.
Yeah. It does. Something that I missed from a long time ago was an elaborate, like Clue House style library with wine red walls and, you know, a 3D ceiling that we made out of folded paper and furniture brads and like the record player, the false fireplace, the wingback chairs, you know, the overstuffed couch, the low table, and then just a thousand books or more, just, you know, seven bookshelves
full. You got it.
Yeah. Like that speaks to me. That's,
When I get my dream house, which we were talking about earlier, like things that I want, I want a proper sitting room. And it's possible that whatever, because of the way houses do now, like the living room itself might be a proper sitting room.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a family room downstairs where you do more of your TV and gaming and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Or what have you. But like a proper sitting room, oh God, with a fireplace. Oh,
mm-hmm.
proper sitting room with a fireplace is like my dream.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's kind of what I was going to go with the hotel, you know, that James was saying, having a fireplace in the hotel.
That would be amazing.
Would be really nice to have.
Yeah.
But I think the answer that I would give at home is completely different. Because, you know, you want different things from a hotel than you want from home. Oh, by the way, Jenna, if I had the money to, you know, build my own home, it would have the library with the two tiers with a spiral staircase up to the second tier. And all of the stacks would have the rolling ladder. Like, that's the library. That's the library I want. Anyway, what really makes a place, you know, home, a place that I can, you know, feel good about is having a place to do the crafts and crazy ideas that I get.
Yeah.
You know, because I do. I like I like doing things with my hands, you know, whether that be brewing,
yeah.
whether that be brewing beer, or whether that be woodworking, or whether that be chainmail, or whether that be, you know, just having a place to fix things, or work, you know, mm-hmm. just a place to polish my swords, you know, just, you know, having workspaces to do things. And I, you know, I have two workspaces in the basement already. You know, I've got a, mm-hmm. I've got an actual, like, workstation where I've got, you know, mm-hmm. wrenches and hammers and stuff that I can fix things at. And then I have the craft yeah. station where I do, you know, where I do the chainmail and you know, did create fun things, you know. But even then, like, I'm frustrated because I don't have a place where I can do big, like, woodworking projects, you know. I don't have a place sure. where I can have a bandsaw and a lathe and a, you know, table saw and right. stuff like that. Because, yes, I've got my workstation in the basement, but trying to do woodworking stuff down in the basement...
That would be a nightmare.
It would be a mess, you know.
Yeah.
But my garage right. is not big enough to house that. And the land around here, the shape of the property, I can't just... put a shed somewhere, you know,
right.
and that's yeah. a big source of frustration for me right now. Mm-hmm. But I think that's really for me, you know, it's less an aesthetic or something like that. It or even a nest for me. What makes a place really nice and homey for me is a place to do all of my stupid ideas.
Mm. I'm gonna posit a theory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here is my theory, because I'm a visual, very visual person. Mm-hmm. I like having the visual and the aesthetic qualities, whatever. Mm-hmm. Salsa is very much so a doer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
James is a very tactile person. A very, very touch, feel, put it in your mouth, whatever kind of a person.
Accurate.
Right.
Yeah.
So I feel like for each of us, I think what has come out of here, I'm going to psychoanalyze this all, but like it kind of what makes something home is something that lends itself to our primary learning or
love language
input type. It's not
no,
quite
no,
a
no,
love
I know.
Language,
I was being,
yeah,
I was being
like flippant. But anyway, but that essential brain thing that
yeah.
we all have, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's my theory.
Mm.
I have posited my theory. So when I want James to feel better, I'm just going to start chucking plushies at him. Cute ones. Tiny
His
ones.
Reaction oh, said everything we needed to know about that.
Yeah. Yeah, like something that has been distressing me about my room currently is that I don't have chargers. And this is, I think, dovetails right. into the brain thing that Jenna's talking about, is that, like, for me, a sense of comfort is knowing that things are plugged in where I expect them and that I have certain things set up for habits.
Sure.
Like, even, yep. you know, at work... at the building that I haven't seen in however many months, I had, you know, there's a place that my phone charger goes, and there's, you know, mouse and keyboard are here arranged this way. There's, you know, these plugs, they all go to these things. They're set up this way. And I think that struggling to find chargers and struggling to make sure that my plugs for the laptops and everything like that are where they should be, and trying to do everything ad hoc like that is real fucking miserable too. So this solves, I think, both of those brain space things.
Sure.
Oh wow, that was quite loud.
What was?
Is anybody else hearing that?
I'm hearing it. It's a very loud beep.
Yeah.
Huh, very annoying. Weird. I hope that's not picking up.
What?
If Salsa's not hearing it, I don't think it would.
I have no idea.
Well, we'll find out.
It stopped. It stopped, Salsa.
Okay.
And so either it's there or it's not.
Yep.
I didn't hear anything, so hopefully it won't be. Anyway, continue.
But I think that Jenna, what you're saying really speaks to that, those individual brain space things. So, yeah. I am looking forward to. I am hoping to have a brain space in real space.
What you're saying, James, is I'm right.
Yes. Also, I need to admit that Bryn was right about something. I bought blinds based on a memory estimate of how wide the windows were, and I was wrong, and she was correct. Aww. So I just wanted to put that on public record. I was mistaken.
Did she listen to the podcast?
The windows, yes. The windows are 30 inches wide each. I purchased blinds that are 24.
Oh, that's super annoying for you.
Yep. So I will be returning them for good ones.
Sigh. Always measure.
What other housing stuff have you guys been up to?
Air conditioning.
Yeah,
the place that we moved into, yeah, had an old air conditioner, and getting that out because it was just like, and built in the 1960s and weighed 200 something pounds and just was a beast.
Now you guys know you have two other air conditioners over here, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But we needed a place to put in the one that I had purchased that is like the almost a replacement for a central air conditioner. It's like 12,000 BTU.
Jesus.
Air conditioner. Yeah, it's a beast.
Yeah, that just fucks these guys right out of a job, doesn't it?
And then some small one-room air conditioners, which I am also very much looking forward to. But I don't know that this second summer is going to last long enough to make it worth putting those in. But I definitely need the large air conditioner plugged in and working, because I am making my own gravy right now.
Ew.
Yeah, it is gross for me, too. Speaking of things of comfort, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, what about you, Salsa? Have you had any housing changes with, like, school stuff or anything like that?
Dear God.
Oh,
like, I haven't done anything with my place, so I'm just like, tell me about all of your adventures.
School. Okay, we're going to talk about that, apparently. So, school has started, and
shit, what
holy,
have I done?
Holy fucking balls. As was mentioned, we have desks for the children because they're, you know, doing school from home, which...
Mm-hmm.
Whew, so they've got their schedule, but... So Asher's in the room with me and my daughter's upstairs with my wife. But my wife is a teacher, so she's busy all day. And even though my older daughter is slightly older, she is still 7. So...
Right.
So it's like their first, they start school at the same time and end school at the same time. So that's kind of okay. You know, it's get them started in the morning, which happens to be the same time that my wife starts school also. So everybody just starts at the same time and it's great. But that's where everything falls apart. Because my wife's schedule is not the same as my daughter's schedule, is not the same as my son's schedule. I just work all day. And kind of take breaks whenever I feel like it, because I'm salaried, so I can just fucking do what I want. But my wife's schedule, because it's high school and they can't make things easy, her schedule is different every day. So it's hard to find a routine for her So it's basically up to me to wrangle all of the kids to make sure they get to classes on time and are like, yeah, it's my day is most of my, like, my day is spent. I log in, I like check my emails just in time for, you know, them to start their school. Then I've got like, I've got to get my son started in his second class, which is like a 15-minute gap between when the first class ends and the second. It's like half an hour or something like that. So, like, he's already fucked off somewhere. So I got to get him and be like, okay, now you have to go back to class. And then I got to get him ready. And then I've got my meeting, my daily stand-up meeting. And then I've got to go back and, like, make sure my daughter is in school on the right time. And then, like, try to get some work done before I have to grab my son for his next class. And then, while he's doing that, make sure my daughter hits her next class. And then there's lunch. it's like, I am running around like crazy just keeping, just getting my kids to class on time. You know?
It's a good thing you're a juggler, Salsa.
It's insanity. And the thing is my daughter is old enough that I can say, go to class, and she knows how to get there. She knows which buttons to click where, and she can kind of get to her class, and she's good. But my son, he doesn't know any of that. So, like, I have to log him in every day. Like, and his second class is music class, so I've got to go to a different program and get him logged in and get the Zoom meeting set up and everything like that. And just it's everything is an absolute mess. It's really, really complicated. And I don't blame my wife at all for, you know, having her own schedule that's messed up, you know, but the fact is because of her schedule is unable to help me with that. You know, we had to, before school started, we were like, yeah, okay, you'll take care of daughter, I will take care of son. We will kind of split the difference here and both kind of, and no, it's basically falling on me at this point, which was just, so not only am I keeping my own, like, I missed an important meeting on Friday just because there are so many schedules happening at once that I was just like, and it was really messed up, and I'm really stressed out over it.
Oh, sweetie.
And it doesn't help that my son, who is starting kindergarten, you know, this is his third day of kindergarten now, is just like, this kindergarten shit's bullshit. Like, what the hell? You know, what do you mean I don't get to do whatever I want and play around? Where summer is still, you know, going on. So, you know, it's like, sit down and listen to the teacher, and he's got toys that he's dinosaurs are, you know, tromping around, and you know, Pikachu's flying through the air, and there's a golf ball that bounces off his table, and so just, like, absolute chaos happening at his table, because he's five, and he's my son, so he's got ADD like the fucking plague, and so trying to keep him focused on school is already madness, and it's just like, and I have to do my own work, and Oh, and get this. I've been at work long enough there on, starting on Wednesday, they're going to start putting me into the error rotation. So that's a thing now, too, that I need
that's
to deal
fun.
With. So I'm just like, I'm so stressed out.
Yeah, boy, howdy.
So that's how I've been.
Well, all right. Have you considered a certificate in project management? Very similar to what you're already doing.
I mean,
accurate.
You're not wrong. And there are two certificates that are accessible that I've gone through the process of. One of them is a 2-day class where you play with pipe cleaners and go over agile methodology. And it's delightful. It's $1,000, but then you go to take the quiz, and it's 36 questions, and you can take the quiz as many times as you need to pass the quiz. Like, it's the easiest fucking certificate. Like, seriously, anybody in the tech industry that's like, I want to start taking on more leadership positions, get your CSM. Just certified Scrum Master. It's beautiful. But the PMP, don't do it unless you are dedicated, which Salsa is not.
No, but I am also stupid and like knowing random things for the sake of knowing random things.
There is that.
Salsa, I think you would be able to pick up on certain elements of getting a PMP. There is a lot of categorization of knowledge types and process type things that I think you would enjoy. However, the questions on the test, number one, there's like, I don't remember, I think it's 200 questions.
Oof.
You've got like 4 hours to take the test. They check your ID. They check you in and out.
Sure, yeah.
Of the test. It's one of those secure testing areas.
Yeah.
If you have to go to the bathroom, they make sure you don't have anything with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're real serious about the PMP. But a lot of the questions are, what would be your first step in doing this thing, right? That
Google,
one?
Google it.
Probably, you can't Google.
The first thing I would do in a work setting is Google it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
It's because I'm a tech.
But then it's more questions like, what is the best way to handle blank?
Google it.
No, that's not an answer.
It is an answer.
It is a multiple choice test, and that is not one of the answers in a multiple choice. But yeah, what is the best way to handle X situation is the worst fucking question. And a lot of that is just kind of having an understanding of the priorities within the process and the risk stuff, all the, and it to a certain extent, it's just gut level. This, I think, is the best way to handle this.
Mm-hmm.
Salsa, you would hate that part of the test.
Oh yeah, I absolutely would. It sounds, I'm already drifting off, just like, that sounds awful.
That's the part of the test I have the easiest time.
Story checks out.
Yeah.
Did you just have them attend an hour of die laughing, and they were like, how many certificates do we have? Is it just the two? Can we, are there more? Can we make one up for her?
Well, and that's the other thing too, is that like die laughing has probably given me better project management gut instinct type stuff and how to fix and do things. Because we don't follow any kind of methodology specifically. Like, I came up with, this is how I want to run meetings, and this is how I want to talk to people about things. I track various milestones and stuff like that. But yeah, like, there are a lot of people that will come in with a lot of project management experience, like within specific methodologies, and try to take the PMP and just fucking fail it.
Sure.
Because their application set is very limited.
That makes
sense. I have an application set with artists in a non-profit.
Fuck.
So yeah, I know how to handle that fucking shit.
Yeah.
How do you handle this off the wall thing? Oh, you mean the thing I did 3 times already? Psh.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to scare me with that.
I fucking delegated it to someone else.
Yeah, usually I delegate it to Salsa.
Yeah, accurate.
Accurate. Go ahead. Try to go get your CSM, Salsa.
Yeah.
You could easily manage that.
Easily. In all of your spare time.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. It's let me see. When I'm gonna fuck, because like there are other certifications that I could take if I just did it.
Yeah. Right. My boss and my company are encouraging me, especially with this being my first year, I'm at the desktop engineering level instead of like server monitoring engineering.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. With this being my first desktop engineering experience on the record, they're encouraging me to get as many certifications as possible and to learn, you know,
are they paying?
They're paying for my schooling and stuff like that, which is tremendous. And I've already taken SQL, and I've taken a couple of management and communications courses. I've taken a lot of different things like that, and it's good. It's really valuable, even if it's just something that I already knew, and now I have the piece of paper that says that I,
right,
you know, have succeeded in that course. It does make a difference. And of course, learning the broader tool set is always really important. Just because you can make a spreadsheet in Word doesn't mean that it is your best tool for the job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, you lost me on that one. What? Did you just tell me a spreadsheet isn't the best tool?
In Word. You can make a spreadsheet in Word, but that doesn't make it the best tool for that job.
Okay.
Looping back to what you said about people who go in with a specific tool set and then fail the PMP.
Right.
Yeah. So there's that. I'm going to get to attend my first software conference, even if it's virtual, which makes it easy for the company to be like, yeah, take the day still working from home.
Yeah,
we don't have to fly you anywhere. Enjoy. So I'll be attending a software conference, which is kind of
that's cool. Exciting.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Oh, this one is it's Microsoft online. Ignite.
No.
That's funny.
The company. Never mind.
It's online.
No, the what organization is putting it on?
Microsoft.
Okay.
I mean that. It is. It's
okay, but that's no, I get that's fine.
It's online.
That's not what I fucking asked.
There's a ramp.
But it is what James actually said.
Yeah.
And I gathered that you hadn't gathered that, and I'm so happy right now, you guys. I adore the both of you. In ways that are mean, but still appreciated.
We should take a break.
I'm for it.
Okay. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Fuck off, have a smoke, jill yourself, come back. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But right. Missionary.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
James.
I'm Jenna.
You definitely are. All right.
I'm having a night tonight, you guys.
Wow.
I'm having a night tonight. We should do a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from Mav.
Yay, Mav.
Oh, is he gonna fuck with Salsa? I hope he fucks with
No,
Salsa.
Just two emails. I mean,
God damn it.
Well, I mean, possibly more fuckery to happen, but two emails. So
okay, no, we'll see if there's more fuckery inside the emails. That's mm-hmm. fair.
This it can still happen. Mav writes, "Greetings, my fellow Apropoians, friends, family, loved ones, and of course, as always, James." Facebook tells me you need a fast five. You can't always believe everything you read on the internet, but I figured it can't hurt to send one anyways. So this is email number one of maybe several dozen, maybe? We'll just have to see now, won't we?
Oh, God.
Question number one.
Yay!
Yay.
Flat or fat? I think fat tires look ridiculous.
Okay, but
and I understand that they have a purpose, but I don't ride bikes anyway, so I don't care. So I'm aesthetically saying flat tires look ridiculous.
What about fat tire the drink?
That, as opposed to flat beer?
Maybe.
I don't want any of it.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah.
Can my answer be no?
Always.
All right. Here's my judgy context. Cuz it's flat or fat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you during quarantine spending more time working on your exercise and your body and maintaining and working on personal health stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you spending more time
getting fat?
Not doing that.
Getting fat.
Cooking and eating?
Cooking and eating and watching Netflix and relaxing during a time of stress.
I am keep calming and clogging my arteries.
Okay. That's all right. Fair. I'll go with that. Yeah.
I am also fat. I mean, I definitely have gained some inches.
I like baking pastries.
I was doing some yoga for a while, and then there was just thing after thing after thing after thing happened, so I haven't been doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get back into it, and I'm hoping that that can happen soon. But in the meantime, I'm just like, oh. But yeah, like, I've definitely not been keeping up with any kind of exercise, anything. Anything.
Well, question.
So I'm going fat.
Okay. Going fat, James.
Also fat.
All right, question number two. Malort?
No.
Or James?
James.
How are you?
Which one hurts your head more? I'm still gonna say James.
Which one would I rather have in my mouth? Me.
All right. Question number three. Moving on. Question number three. Salsa. Or Hinny?
Hinny.
Spell it.
H-I-N-N-E-Y.
Hiney?
Maybe Hiney.
Maybe Hiney. Hinder?
Not knowing what that is. It sounds like either a beer or butt. So I'm gonna say salsa, but trepidatious.
Like Heineken? Is that what?
Heinenkugels.
You're a Heinenkugel.
If I was doing more Heinenkegels, I would be fit, not fat.
Yeah.
Just because I don't know what the other one is, I'm gonna go for me. A me.
Yeah.
I assume this is me salsa and not the dip salsa.
Well, I mean,
but. You know, we'll go. Still going with it. All right.
I don't think I've ever seen Salsa cross his arms defensively before.
Oh, I'm not crossing them defensively. I'm just waiting for...
He's prepping the ding.
Yes, I've got the dinger held up to, right. to my face.
Yeah, I got it. I know what he's doing. I'm still going to laugh at him.
Okay. Question number four. Spin or fling?
I'd rather be a spin doctor than a fling doctor.
Would you rather, on a vacation, take a new car for a spin or take a new partner for a fling?
I mean, I'm married, so spin.
I was about to say, describe the car and describe the partner.
Both of them are Joe.
¿Por qué no los dos?
Is Joe a transformer? What the fuck?
No, well, I do drive a stick.
It's a manual.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. In places.
Oh, not automatic, I can tell you that. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore.
You're saying either spin or fling.
You know what? As far as a verb, just as a verb that exists, I like fling. Fling has such a doing something feel. Spin, you're just kind of sitting there, you're just kind of like churning, you're spinning. But fling feels like it has more purpose, so I'm going to go fling.
All right. James?
I'll go fling because I enjoyed participating in the haggis toss.
Okay. Question number five. Sport or spoon?
I would way rather spoon than sport.
Yeah, between doing sports or eating, give me the food. Or between sports and cuddling, give me the cuddle.
Okay, wait. I got something.
Okay.
Do you feel more intimate with your partner?
Huh.
During sex or cuddling before / after?
Oh.
And that really depends.
I feel like it's all part of the same action, so it's...
They're different types of intimacy.
It's all one it's all one for me.
Well, that explains the time I cuddled Salsa.
Yeah, it's all part and parcel, in my opinion.
I will say, I have had sex without intimacy. I don't cuddle without intimacy.
That's fair.
Like, that's a thing. Like, I can have sex for the fun of sex. Like, sex is fun.
Sure.
It's a fun sport. But I don't cuddle unless I have some form of intimacy involved with that cuddle.
See, I generally don't have sex with someone unless there is a level of intimacy.
Not it.
No, I need to be at least friends with someone. There has been one time in my life that I have had sex with somebody who wasn't a friend already, and it was awful.
Really? I have had many not dates like that where
if somebody already knows me and I know them, then sex is fun because it's a fun thing that friends are doing together. But like the one time I had a one night stand, it was just like, you know, they didn't get my sense of humor, and it was just like, I don't feel anything for you, and so this is just kind of this like done, and now I'm just like
Wow, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I guess I'm not I don't know, like, whatever works for you works for you. That's fine. But I've had a few just one night hookup type things that were really fun.
And more power to you. It didn't work out for me. I needed that emotional connection with him first.
I will say, as much fun as those sexual encounters were, there wasn't intimacy. It was all about playing and exploring, and this is a new toy, new body, whatever. And there was definitely, I mean, I've had some that weren't as well connected as they should have been going into it, but the good ones, which were more than a few, I was just like, hey, this is not going anywhere. This is just tonight, right? We're just gonna play, fun, explore, whatever. And like, yeah. And then we did, and it was great because we were on the same level.
See, for me, it was kind of like playing a board game with a group of friends, or playing a board game with a complete stranger. Like, I'm just going to have a lot more fun playing a board game with a friend, because we're going to have more to talk about than just the game. You know, there's the game, but there's also, we're chatting, we're laughing, we're telling stories, we're telling jokes, we're having, you know, we're hanging out as friends. It's not just two complete strangers playing a board game.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean we can play board games with other people, that's fine. But in this moment, we're friends playing a board game, and it, a weird analogy, I know, but that's kind of what it was for me. It was just like, yes, we're doing this activity, and yeah, it feels good, but all of the banter, all of the jokes, all of the stories, all of the like stuff around it wasn't there, and it just felt
I get it.
Yeah.
I just, for me, some of the fun of the exploration is getting to know a person within the context of that one night. So.
Well, I also don't like people.
Different
so.
Things. That's accurate. Yes. Yes.
All right. Mav wraps this up by saying, okay, that wraps up email number one. On to the next. So, second email. Mav says, okay, I figured I'd be nice to Salsa tonight. Not exactly sure why. Maybe it's because he is actually one of my favorite people. And even though a small piece of me doesn't feel bad for doing it, it is more of an allowable time thing. I'm sure you will all understand. So.
If I have to.
I know. Question number one, flat or fat? Do you prefer your sandwiches on some sort of flat bread or with more of a normal fat loaf of bread?
Normal.
All of the above. I love all of them. Oh my God.
I guess
I'm
confused.
So like you got your two slices of
one
white
bread,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed
or
to...
like a sub.
Okay.
Right.
Because flatbread is a thing. Flatbread is like a very particular thing that was in vogue.
It is, but I don't think that's what he's saying here.
Oh, okay.
I think he's saying bread that is flat as opposed to flatbread.
Okay. Ah. Okay.
Yep. I'm going to go fat.
I'll still go fat. I like a hoagie.
Yeah, I like all of the above. The last sandwich I ate was a Caffrey's sandwich, so I'll go fat. But
Hot bellies.
Give me carbs and give me meat.
Yes.
Grilled cheese.
Give me carbs or give me death.
Flat.
I cannot have grilled cheese, you son of a bitch.
Okay.
Question number two. Malort or James?
Oh.
You are stranded on a deserted island with James somewhere in the South Pacific. Mm-hmm. Maybe even the one from Jurassic Park. You find a magic lamp and decide to rub it. Okay, so it's not Jurassic Park Island. Out pops the genie, and instead of wishes, he gives you a choice. He offers to rescue you, no questions asked, but to rescue James, you must first drink a bottle of Malort. What do you do? Do you drink the bottle and save both of you, or do you toss the filthy liquid and leave James behind to fend for himself? Well, I gotta say, this podcast, ever since, what's his name, is no longer that with one. Us.
Yeah,
it's just Jenna and me now, and
right.
That other guy was, he had terrible puns, but what was his name?
Kyle.
Yeah, okay, that was it, yeah.
Is it Kyle?
Whatever happened to him? Oh yeah, deserted island somewhere still, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually maybe a boat would come by. Maybe.
Here's my question. How long do I have to finish the Malort?
And can you have help?
You know what? So it says a bottle of Malort, but it doesn't say how.
Also,
it doesn't say how large the bottle of Malort is.
Right.
Oh.
Is it one of those airplane bottles? I'll do that.
Because if that's the case, then I'm still gonna go with. Bye, James.
It would still abandon me.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Are you, Kyle?
I would do anything for James, but I won't drink Malort.
No, I won't drink Malort.
Question number three: salsa or Heine? Oh, it is okay. So it is Heine. Would you rather drink a big jar of really hot salsa, or the same size jar of boiling hot Heineken? I wouldn't want to drink boiling hot anything.
Well, so is the salsa, like, spicy hot, or is it...
I believe it says really hot, spicy. So I assume spicy hot.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, boiling hot Heineken.
Boiling hot is gonna just kill you.
Well, I mean, maybe you can, like, blow on it.
But it's still boiling hot, James. Blowing on it is not going to... Okay, it's now 198 degrees as opposed to 212. It's still gonna fuck you up.
What size is the jar?
It's still gonna burn.
It's about the size of a bottle of Malort. It's
still gonna burn the shit out of you.
It's nipple height.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't actually mean boiling hot. However, since he did phrase it that way and he should know better, I'm gonna have to go with salsa.
Yeah, I can drink spicy salsa. That's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Boiling, I can't.
No, you. But boiling.
I am a good Minnesotan white chick. Yeah. Oh jeez, I can't handle that spicy. Very
oh good. Jesus.
That's more than ketchup. So I don't.
Oh jeez. Oh wait, like pepper spicy or like ketchup spicy?
The day at Die Laughing that Angela Fox came over and was like, "Whew, that ketchup's got a kick." I was just like, "What the fuck just happened here?"
Oh. She makes me so happy. I adore her.
Question number four: spin or fling? So you find yourself stuck on a ride at Valley Fair. It may take hours before they can fix it, and the worst part is it is stuck in the on position. Would you rather be stuck on that ride that spins or one that flings you around in the air?
I would like to be stuck on the teacups, please.
Maybe
the carousel.
Also good.
I would be stuck on the bumper cars.
I don't like roller coasters.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a fling or a spin?
I would assume that's more of a fling overall.
Okay.
Yeah, that seems right.
I don't like being flung. I'm never going to do bungee jumping. I don't like heights. Mm-hmm. I don't like those things. I am very much so a teacup, carousel, bumper cars, the little waterlogged thing at Valley Fair.
The flume.
Not the shoot one, although I can kind of handle that one, but the little floaty thing that goes through
the lazy canyon. River. Oh, sure. Thunder Canyon with the giant donuts.
That's the one.
And
yep.
You put like six people into it. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can kind of lean to spin and try to get your friend wet.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my level of ride. Festival last year. Story time. Festival last year. I was walking around, and I had just visited Fencing Booth, and I was walking through games. And I was talking with this little girl, and I think I started talking to her right outside of Fencing Booth, and she was walking the same direction as I was, so I had a conversation and just kept talking with her. And we get up over near the little swingy thing, the like the griffin and the
yeah,
whatever.
The swings, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And her grandma, she was with her grandma. And she was like, I want to go on the ride. And grandma was like, I do not want to go on the ride. And the little girl asked me if I would go on the ride with her.
Mm-hmm.
This is not fun for me. This is not a thing that I do not like being lifted up off my butt when it gets to the high parts.
Sure.
And I know it's not much. I don't like it.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was the sacrifice that I made last year was the grandma actually, I was like, oh, well, you know, I kind of need to go do this thing. And the grandma was like, I will pay for you to do it. And I was like, I don't need for you to pay for me to do it. I'm going to go on the thing with the little girl because it's going to make her day.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I hated it. It was torture. I don't like those kind of rides. I don't like them. I did it, and I can do it.
But did the little girl have a good time?
Oh, she had a fucking blast, and she wanted to do it again. And I was like, I will not do it again.
Everybody gets
like,
one.
The little kid roller coasters at, like, fucking whatever it is now, like Camp Snoopy, Nickelodeon, whatever, Fun Blast, the 8 million iterations it's been through.
Camp Snoopy, people know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but they have a little kid roller coaster thing.
Sure.
Jessa was 8 and she wanted to go on it, but she wasn't quite tall enough, so she had to have somebody go on it with her.
Yeah.
This is how much I love my daughter.
Oh,
you paid because somebody else to go with her. That's adorable.
God, I should have. I really should have. No, she wanted me to go with her.
Fair.
And I fucking, I hated every moment of it.
So is that a spin or a fling, Jen?
Oh, it's spin. It's totally spin.
Teacups.
Would you like to hear? Yeah. God,
I think
teacups
are going to spin. So
yeah, teacups are pretty good.
Yeah, we'll go with teacups.
I like... I like the monster at Valley Fair. The one that looks like an octopus full of orange lights.
Oh yeah.
Tilt-a-whirl.
That one I'm all about it.
Is that the tilt-a-whirl?
It's got each of the cars fits 2 to 3 people free spinning.
Oh no, that's the tilt-a-whirl. Which is that one?
It's called the monster.
Oh, okay.
And it's right at the entrance, and it's always been one of my favorites because I always ride it with my mom, and I always try to make her feel sick by leaning and spinning the car super fast.
Oh, you're dead.
But, you know, now it's more just, like, memories and fun.
Right.
So it's usually the first ride that we go on and the last ride that we go on.
Aw.
Because it's amazing. Like, it's a good warm-up for all the other rides. But then also, it's amazing at night. It's so beautiful the way that it's lit up. And it's... Yeah, I have photos from my nephew's 15th birthday. I took him to Valley Fair with his girlfriend. And they took a photo of us in our car spinning at high speeds. And then we, in the middle of the ride, took a photo of them. And there is and the photo's adorable. So I sent that to his mom. and it was good. Yeah, so I think that's kind of a spinny ride. Yeah, I'd have to go.
No, that is definitely a spin.
I would call that spinny.
All right, spins all around. All right, question number five. Sport or spoon? Would you rather learn how to play a new sport, or would you rather try to learn how to bend a spoon with your mind?
Spoon.
Spoon.
Hmm.
Oh, God. Easily, spoon.
Spoon? Spoon. Spoon.
Sure. I'll go with that.
All right. And that wraps up email number two. Yes, only two emails tonight. My apologies for slacking. I will make up for it another time.
Oh, God.
Love, hugs, kisses, and all that socially distant jazz, Mav. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@a1podcast.com. The first one should include nothing but the choices, and the second one, repeat those choices and then give us the context. Who has a shout-out?
I have a shout-out. Should I go? Okay.
Yeah.
My shout-out is for James and Bryn. Because I was having a really rough day today, like a very bad day, beginning of my period, everything going wrong in like incrementally, like this shit, then this shit, then this shit, then this shit, then this shit kind of a day. And they were coming by to pick up a few things from the house, and they left me a little black bag, and it was filled with chocolate and beef sticks. And that made my day better. So shout out to them.
Very nice.
Aww. I'm going to do a shout out to IKEA for having an announcement that says it is not enough in these times to simply have a face covering. It must also be over your nose and mouth.
Oh.
Like, and that's great. I appreciate that. Because there are a lot of people who don't do that and then give you a fucking microwave laser beam look when you're like, up over the...
Can you know how basic face clothing works?
Put over the nose that's part of your fucking face. Yeah. Yeah. So thanks to them. Appreciate ya.
All right.
Also, tiny coin purse bag.
Also that. I love it.
All right. I am going to give my shout out to all of the teachers out there who are trying to figure shit out.
Because
fuck, yeah. Nobody knows what's going on. And people are making this shit up as they go. It's not like this was something that was workshopped for a few years as people did studies, and then they went, okay, we're going to do it this way. It was, well, we're doing it this way now. Figure it out. And they're doing it.
Yep.
So fucking respect them, because fuck. So that's what I got. All right, who has something to plug?
Kind of.
Alright.
Maybe this will just segue into the plug as well. But my birthday's coming up.
Woo!
Yes. October 5th. And people have asked me like various things about, you know, what do you want for your birthday? What things, whatever, blah blah blah. How do we help you celebrate? And I put a post out on Facebook today, and many of our listeners are also my Facebook friend. However, many are not. And my request is that, for my birthday or just from the goodness of your heart, look into whatever your local area, unsheltered individual situation is, your homeless neighbors, and find a way to help. I have been on the brink of homelessness a couple of times myself. I've got immediate family members that have dealt with homelessness. A lot of my loved ones, especially nowadays, having difficulties with maintaining housing or being housed themselves. homelessness is a big deal, and we're starting to get into, you know, colder season time, at least here in the Northern Hemisphere. And I mean, it's pretty raw in Minneapolis right now. We've had an awful lot of things going on with our unsheltered community. The tent cities getting taken down and things like that. But there are so many different ways that you can help with homelessness. You can join shelter protests, not protesting shelters, but protesting for shelters. You can write to your representatives to say, hey, fucking do something about this. You can just fucking talk to somebody that is homeless. If you see a homeless person, don't just like do the look of shame away, I don't see you kind of thing. But like, have a 30-second conversation through your car window. Have, you know, whatever. But just to take your time and look at these people as people goes such a long way in helping them with their mental health stuff, which if you're homeless, you've got some mental health stuff going on. It might not be like a disease or an illness, but you've got a lot of things happening to you while you're in that homeless state. And just being able to talk to somebody and be treated like a person can go a really long way.
Yeah.
Donating time and or money to unsheltered or to shelters, people trying to help resolve homeless situations. There is no reason in our modern age of industry and technology that people should be homeless, and that's stupid and I hate it. So go do that.
Yeah.
That's my plug.
All right. James?
Nothing at the moment.
All right. Neither do I. Well, no, that's not entirely true. The project I was talking about, Curtains Unfurled, the first episode should be dropping, I'm guessing probably Thursday is kind of what I'm shooting for right now. He said, hopefully, but we'll see if that actually happens. So, keep an eye open for it. Anyway. Final
bye,
thoughts.
Bye, love you, bye.
Alright. Thank you so very much for listening to this episode. Thank you to Mav for sitting Heffalumps. Thank you for listening to this episode. Thank you to Mav for sending in the Fast Five on behalf of myself and James and Jenna. Eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.